From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, following the U.S. Fed's decision to raise the benchmark interest by another 0.75 percentage point, the Korean won further weakened to surpass 1,401 against the greenback for the first time in over 13 years. The leaders of South Korea and Japan met on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, where they agreed on the need to improve bilateral relations by resolving pending issues. The government may announce the termination of all outdoor mask mandates as early as this week. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Tom McCarthy. The Korean won collapsed beyond the 1400 threshold against the U.S. dollar on Thursday to its weakest point in 13 and a half years. The local currency shed 15.5 won, or 1.1% against the dollar, closing at 1,409.7 against the greenback, its weakest level since March 31, 2009, at the height of the financial crisis. The won's sharp depreciation beyond the psychological line follows the U.S. Federal Reserve's announcement on Wednesday of a 0.75 percentage point hike in benchmark interest rates to the highest level since 2008. Fed officials also predicted the rate will reach 4.4% by the end of the year, which requires additional hikes of 1.25 percentage points. Bank of Korea Governor Lee Chang-yong on Thursday hinted at the possibility of raising the nation's benchmark interest rate by 0.5 percentage point next month, rather than an earlier outlook of 25 basis points to offset market concerns about repercussions from the Fed hike. President Yoon Suk-yeol and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida have agreed on the need to improve relations between the two countries by resolving pending issues in the first summit in almost 3 years. The South Korean presidential office issued a press release summarizing Yoon and Kishida's meeting on Wednesday in New York on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. According to the top office, the two leaders agreed to instruct their diplomatic authorities to accelerate talks to improve bilateral ties, as well as continue direct communication between themselves on pending issues. While the statement did not specify what pending issues are to be addressed, Seoul-Tokyo relations have been strained over the wartime forced labor and other issues related to their colonial past. Yoon and Kishida also shared concerns about the North Korean nuclear program and agreed to closely cooperate with the international community to respond to threats from the regime. The 30-minute summit in a building close to the UN headquarters was the first meeting between the leaders of the two neighbors in 2 years and 9 months since December of 2019, when former South Korean President Moon Jae-in met with then-Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in China. President Yoon Suk-yeol conveyed Seoul's concerns over the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act to U.S. President Joe Biden 3 times as his government seeks to rectify the exclusion of South Korean-made electric vehicles from U.S. tax incentives. According to the top office, Yoon relayed such a position when he met Biden at a reception in London hosted by King Charles III on Monday, and again on 2 separate occasions on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly on Wednesday. In the encounters, Yoon proposed that South Korea and the U.S. work closely to resolve the issue, to which Biden replied that he is well aware of such concerns and vowed to continue sincere discussions on the matter. The top office said the two leaders also agreed to closely cooperate on initiating liquidity facilities if they deem it necessary to stabilize their financial markets. The office went on to say that Yoon and Biden agree to further boost cooperation to deter North Korea's attacks and jointly devise measures to respond to the regime's provocations.
You are now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
The nation reported about 33,000 new COVID-19 cases on Thursday as the downward trend of infections continues. The Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency said on Thursday that 33,009 infections were reported throughout the previous day, including 255 from overseas. The country's cumulative caseload came to around 24.5 million. The daily figure dropped by over 8,000 from a day ago to post the lowest in 11 weeks for Thursday tallies. It is down by some 38,000 from a week ago and nearly 40,000 from 2 weeks ago. The number of seriously or critically ill patients dropped by 66 from the previous day to 428, the lowest since August 11th. Wednesday reported 59 deaths, raising the death toll to 28,009. The fatality rate stands at 0.11%. Mandatory mask wearing outdoors may soon be a thing of the past as the pandemic situation stabilizes in the nation. Quarantine authorities on Thursday said a panel of experts advising the government on infectious disease responses convened a meeting the prior day and concluded that it was safe to recommend the termination of all outdoor mask mandates. The move, expected to significantly alleviate pandemic fatigue among the populace without increasing the risk of infection, may be announced by the government as early as this week. Although the government has lifted the blanket outdoor mask mandate in May, mask usage was still required for large-scale gatherings of 50 people or more, including sports matches, concerts, or rallies. While the expert consensus supports an end to all outdoor mask requirements, opinion is split regarding indoor mandates, with experts agreeing that they will eventually need to be eliminated, but disagreeing on the timing and scope. Health authorities assessed that a lower fatality rate this past summer compared to past waves of the COVID-19 pandemic amid the lifting of social distancing indicates that the virus's resurgence appears to have been sufficiently managed. The Central Disease Control Headquarters said on Thursday that increased vaccination, the use of treatment pills, and enhanced monitoring of high-risk facilities allowed for control of the spread in a stable manner without additional policies. The latest resurgence, in which the BA.5 subvariant of Omicron was the dominant strain, has been subsiding steadily over the past 4 weeks after showing no signs of decline for 8 weeks. Authorities cited a nationwide fatality rate of 0.05% between July and September 3rd when the BA.5 subvariant was dominant, half the 0.1% rate posted during the previous resurgence between January and July. They said the latest resurgence can be considered stable, but it has not yet completely ended. The funeral of Lee Dae-jun, a South Korean fisheries official who was shot dead by North Korean military in 2020, was held in Mokpo, South Jeolla Province, on Thursday. Some 100 mourners attended the funeral, including the bereaved family, Lee's colleagues, and Minister of Oceans and Fisheries Cho Seung-hwan, who expressed hope that the victim and his family can find peace after a 2-year struggle. Lee's brother said such a tragedy must not reoccur and urged the country to restore his brother's honor. He added that he will legally hold accountable everyone culpable in the crime, including former President Moon Jae-in. The family plans to hold a press conference after pressing charges against Moon next week. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index fell 14.90 points, or 0.63% on Thursday, closing the day at 2,332.31. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ also fell, losing 3.48 points, or 0.46%, to close at 751.41. On the foreign exchange, the local currency weakened 15.51 against the dollar, ending the day at 1,409.71. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Tom McCarthy.
KBS World Radio.